want to watch Mac and Me later?
I do. I've never seen that movie before.
Yes. When you were little, you loved it.
Shut up.
I swear. And I didn't like it because it was a ripoff of E.T.
It was like the Purple People Eater or something. Like, I love that movie growing up.
Yeah, you drew Purple People Eaters all over the walls and Mom, like, had a meltdown. You don't remember that?
No.
Because your Purple People Eater, the horn on its head did not look like a horn.
Did it look like
yeah. a
penis?
Yep. Ugh. And they were all over the walls.
A one-eyed purple people penis. All right. Let's just dive right in here.
That wasn't diving at all. That was like wading out.
Oh, well, I'm going to wade out and say the movie we're doing tonight, and then we can move on from there.
Okay.
So, my name is Chelsea.
And I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. Tonight, we're going to be reviewing Basket Case. Mm. And I don't know if I would necessarily call what we're doing reviewing.
No, we're telling the tale.
We're telling the tale in a what we think is a comedic fashion, but maybe not.
I don't think we're funny at all. But I don't know. Greg kind of thinks we're funny.
Well, that's all that matters. All right. So, Erin.
Okay. So, I picked Basket Case as my first movie. And before I get into it, the reason I picked it is because I have a funny traumatizing backstory.
Yeah.
So, Chelsea and I grew up in like an old Victorian farmhouse downstate Michigan. And when you think of it, you think like, oh, Victorian farm surrounded by corn. No, we weren't surrounded by corn at all. We were surrounded by swamp to make it even scarier.
Yeah.
So when I just wanted to set that scene so you weren't picturing like a trailer or a ranch house. It was an old spooky house. So when I was tiny, I want to say like 4 or 5, I got up in the night, and the way our house was set up is we had this kind of like big wraparound staircase that went into an entryway. And then to get to our bathroom, you had to walk through this big main room of the house, and it passed our TV room, which would have been like originally the parlor or whatever.
Yeah.
So I got up in the night, I could hear the TV on, knew my dad was awake, went down the stairs, went past a gigantic wicker laundry basket that my mom had at the bottom of the steps, and was on my way to the bathroom. The TV was on. I turned and looked, and I saw maybe 3 seconds of a monster movie. I don't even really know if it was Basket Case, but I do know that there was like hands coming out, like monster hands coming out of a basket. And I remember thinking, even as young as I was, that I shouldn't have looked.
Yeah.
Like, why did I look at that? So I don't know if it was that night or like nights later, I had a dream that I got up and had to go down to the bathroom, and I walked down the steps past this laundry basket, and a monster jumped out and grabbed me and pulled me into the basket. And at the time, it was like the most terrifying thing that could ever happen to me. Like,
when you're little,
was traumatized. Yeah. And now when I think about it, the monster kind of looked like the creature from the Black Lagoon. And he had like webbed hands. So he's kind of like a weird fish monster.
Did you ever tell Dad?
Well, I woke up from that dream. I told Mom and Dad. They had to, like, I don't know how long after that, when I would get up at night, I'd wake them up and one of them would have to walk me downstairs. I was petrified of the laundry basket to the point where Mom must have just gotten rid of it.
Because it definitely, like, wasn't there when I was growing up.
And, of course, it was an old house, so it wasn't very well lit at night, and it was, you couldn't turn that downstairs hall light on from the upstairs.
No.
So no matter what, you had to walk through the dark. And yeah, it traumatized me. So then after that, when I was older and like going to rent videos, I never wanted to watch Basket Case because I was still afraid from when I was a kid.
Well, and like Basket Case, like the cover of the movie, it's one of those movies that you walk by when you're at Family Video. Well, not anymore, sadly. But if you're at a movie rental place and you walk by and it looks super creepy, like cheesy creepy, and you're like, oh, maybe I should rent that tonight.
It would definitely be one that I would rent.
Yeah.
If I didn't have that traumatizing event as I burp.
And I'm surprised that you told Dad and Dad didn't, like, hide in the basket at some point.
I was really little, though.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like I was a teenager or something. Like, I was little. I don't think he went out of his way to scare me as much back then.
Do you remember this, the closet underneath the stairs?
Yeah.
And you would hide in it and scare me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Traumatizing childhood living in a farmhouse.
I know. And look how brave you are now.
I'm so brave. So brave. I have to have a light turned on down here to go through the dining room.
To, like, walk through there? Like, walk through this room?
Yeah. I just... ugh. I get creeped out.
Okay.
Anywho,
I finally faced my fears and watched Basket Case. It came out in 1982. It's considered a comedy horror. The director was Frank Henenlotter. He went on to direct, I believe, the sequels. I think so. And then Frankenhooker, which might end up on one of my lists.
Probably.
The cast is Kevin Van Hendrick. I can't read his last name at all. That's Dwayne. Terry Susan Smith is Sharon. And Beverly Bronner is Casey, the prostitute. Now, fun fact about her. When she auditioned, she was just supposed to have a bit part. And the director liked her so much that he gave her a bigger part. And she's in all his other movies.
I love her.
I do too. I'm really looking forward to seeing her in Frankenhooker.
Yeah. So she is one of my favorite characters in this, because no matter what Dwayne, the main character, says to her, like, whatever, she's just like, yeah, of course, honey, like, whatever.
And she looks out for him, yeah. Like, tells him to hide his cash because what's his name is trying to steal from him. And she's just overall cool. Like, I could see us being friends.
Yeah.
I would want to borrow her, like, glittery bras that she wears and those, like, little sheer, I don't know,
sheer
jackets.
Like, yeah. She's just really cool.
I like her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so basically the whole plot of it is Dwayne has a Siamese twin that he's very fond of, even though he's, like, this freakish monster growing off the side of him. And his dad, like, spazzes out about it.
Well,
and has it, what?
When they're born, they kill their mom.
Their mom dies giving birth. And then the dad, I don't know why he wouldn't have fought it harder when Dwayne was a baby, because he doesn't have the surgery until he's in his teens.
Yeah, and I don't understand that either. Like, why wasn't it taken care of right in the beginning of his childhood?
I have no idea, because that's when they would have done a surgery like that. Instead, he waits until he's a teenager and just, like, drags him out of bed with, what, like, two doctors and a veterinarian?
In the dining room. Why in the dining room? I feel like they would have just taken him to the hospital and done it. Like, why is it in secret?
I don't know.
I don't understand that.
Well, his kind of, like, caretaker aunt is out of town.
Oh.
So they kind of just, like, jump into action.
Okay.
This all, you find all this out, like, midway through the movie when he has a flashback. But the whole plot is that he takes his brother.
Belial.
Mm-hmm. He takes his, like, deformed brother, keeps him in a basket, and goes to New York to hunt down the doctors that did the surgery.
Yeah, and Belial looks a lot like Bib Fortuna.
I don't know who that is.
In Star Wars, he is a Twi'lek, names are hard, who is Boba Fett's, like, main guy. If you look up a picture, you will know what I'm talking about, because he does. Belial looks a lot more deformed and stuff, but he looks like Bib Fortuna.
Belial looks disgusting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they start hunting down the doctors. In the very beginning, when you don't really know what's happening, they hunt down the first doctor and kill him.
Yeah. Which I put this in my notes. The spiky, there's a plant right by the door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a spiky looking plant. It's the same plant that Dad had that was like in the big window at the farmhouse. Like the big spiky looking plant.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well,
outside the house?
No, we kept it inside, and I just remember having to, like, sweep it up all the time.
Oh, I'll have to check that out, because I don't know what kind of plant that is. And it's weird that I didn't notice that.
I'm almost positive, because, I saw it, and I was like, holy shit, that looks like...
So the house that they used as his doctor's office, the people that owned that property were all excited that it was going to be used for a movie. And then unexcited when they found out what kind of movie it was.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, and I also forgot to mention that the budget was $35,000. And I didn't know what that meant in 1982 terms of budget. E.T. came out the same year and the budget was $10.5 million.
Oh, my God.
I should have waited until you took a drink. You would have spit it everywhere.
I would have.
And then I thought, okay, well, E.T. was like a big name. And so I looked up other like 1982 films. And Fast Times at Ridgemont High, $4.5 million.
Shut up.
So other stuff was going on. So the budget started out at $16,000. I told you, this movie is like filled with like great trivia.
I love it.
The budget was $16,000 and it was the director's life savings.
Oh.
Yeah. So as he was filming, he would show clips or like tell people the story. So then he ended up almost or a little over doubling his budget.
That's a really interesting fact.
Good job on that one. I started out not really caring much for this. I just thought it was kind of like a cheesy, like, okay, well, I'm going to watch it because I, you know, had a good story to go with it. But then when I started researching it, it got like more and more interesting.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I have the stuff I was supposed to write down, the budget, cast, director. And then I drew a line, my own dumb notes.
The important stuff and then thoughts. I'm
really glad that the camera didn't shake the whole time because it was like handheld in the beginning of it.
Really?
It looked handheld. Like that all of opening these, scene.
Yeah, all of these things you're telling me, I'm like shocked because I'm like genuinely interested. Not just because.
It is like some really cool stuff. I kind of wondered how the twin was so strong.
Yeah. That was one thing because in the end scene and like throughout the movie, he exhibits like super strength.
And if he was so strong when they were dragging him in to do the surgery, why wasn't he like ripping people's arms off and like grabbing onto the door frame? Like
maybe he also grows. So, like, his strength just, like, grew later
on. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Because he would have had to be able to, like, carry himself around and, like, crawl around and do all the... What? This is my hair tie, kitty. Do you want it? Sorry.
Yeah, that...
Oberon's stealing the show. Come on, kitty.
My cat likes to...
Here, you can have this one. I have more.
Yeah. There were a lot of things in this movie, and I don't know if you really want to talk more about, like... The plot and what happens.
I feel like I'm not good at that.
Okay, so...
Like, you're good at that?
Yeah.
Like, when we did Sleepaway Camp, you were on top of, like, play-by-play what happened.
Right. Okay.
And it was giving me the nerves because I can't do that.
That's okay. Here I go. Dwayne takes Belial in this basket to New York and he rents out a hotel room for like a week or however long.
It's just by the day. It was $20 a night.
Yep. Up front.
Up front. And I'm telling you all these great facts about it. That building, so the whole thing is shot in like Times Square.
Okay.
Or in that general area.
Okay.
I've never been to New York, so I don't know. I don't know a lot about that.
Yeah. But,
so that hotel is fake. One of the only props that they made for the movie, other than, I can't say his name. The monster.
Belial.
I need to write that down.
I'm pretty sure that that's his name.
Other than that, like the stop animation and stuff they do with him. And the,
which, oh my God. I know.
They do the sign for the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the, what it is an office building, and they use the, not the main elevator, what's the other one? Like the.
Oh, I don't know.
Like the ones that the janitor uses and they move furniture and all that. What is that? That's a name, though.
A freight elevator?
A freight elevator.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. So they use that elevator and they prop the doors open, and that is the hotel office.
What?
Yeah. So they use an elevator as the hotel office.
I
Which makes
see
sense
it.
Because
yeah.
then there's stairs that go up on the side of it.
Yeah, and I love the sign behind the hotel manager. It says checkout is at noon, not 12:30, not 12:35. It's noon, and it's like scrawled in like big.
I didn't notice that.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I thought it was cool. It's like one of those things that you don't notice until you watch it a second time.
So when he checks in, he's got like a big wad of cash, which is
where does he get all of this money?
I assume that he stole it maybe when he left home, or maybe he had a job.
Or maybe they stole it from the doctor in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, he's got this big wad of cash, and the guy in the lobby is just staring at him like.
I'm glad he dies.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
He's just kind of a jerk.
He's a skeezy douchebag. I don't like him.
But yeah, so he checks in the hotel. Then he goes and gets burgers, and I want to say this is probably the grossest part in the whole.
The sounds of chewing. I can't do it.
Dwayne is sitting there, and you know that there's something in the basket. You haven't seen him yet?
You haven't seen him yet.
So he's just like tossing in burgers, and he's like making the chewy, slurpy, like gross
sounds.
The basket is shaking.
I thought about trying to do them, but I won't.
No, please don't.
But yeah, he keeps a lock on this basket, and for good reason, because Belial like has a mind of his own and will obviously, if you watch the movie, will go out and do whatever the hell he wants to do.
Yeah. So, okay, then he goes to the next doctor's office where he meets Sharon, the receptionist. Did you think that was weird at all? Do you think maybe she was a little crazy?
I think she was a little crazy.
Well, first of all, she is wearing a wig.
She absolutely is.
I wasn't 100% sure, but for some reason, when I was reading the trivia on it, she is bald. Not like forever bald, I don't think, but just bald.
I thought
during the filming of this.
Yeah, she had shaved her head for some reason. I want to say, and don't quote me on this, I want to say she was in a band in the
80s. Really?
Yeah. But I
and
don't.
And that was the thing to do then.
And that was the thing to do in the early 80s. Like
it was
the,
shocking.
Like the punk bands and stuff. I want to say that that's why she had to wear a wig. I did kind of, like, look at some things.
Yeah.
But
she, what I think is so weird about her is because he's like, oh, yeah, I'm just, you know, visiting town and I wanted to visit this doctor friend of mine. And she starts going over things. Have you been here yet? Have you been here yet? And she gets more and more aggressive about it. You haven't even been to see the Statue of Liberty? And she gets, like, so intense. And I thought, is that, like, weird acting, or is she supposed to be, like...
I want to say she might be a little loopy.
Well, another part that makes her seem a little loopy is, this is, like, jumping ahead a little bit, but they go on one date, and then that ends early, and we'll get into that later, but obviously all the doctors die because they're hunting them down. But her doctor boss dies and she immediately runs to him.
Why? After meeting him for like a day.
I just couldn't be alone. You don't have a single friend. You're going to run to this guy that you've been on half a date with.
Yeah. There were a lot of things like that in the movie that I was like, what the hell?
But I did write down, like, I love Casey. I wrote it down like 10 times.
I did too. Yeah. Casey is my favorite person.
Because, yeah, at first you kind of like see her. She's like taking a guy to her room. And then you see her again when she's warning Dwayne about, I want to say Frank is his name, but I'm sure that's wrong.
Yeah.
She wants to like warn him like, hey, he's snooping around, hide your money because he's a jerk, which I thought was totally cool of her because she didn't have to do any of that.
And then Dwayne ends up going out to a bar like that night, I want to say, right?
No, that's a little later on. That's towards the end of the movie. And I have some interesting things about that too. No, because the second doctor dies. And when the second doctor, the one that Sharon works for.
Yeah.
He dies. And I think Sharon says something when she's leaving work, like, I'll be back in 2 days or something. Like, she's got a day off coming up.
Wednesdays. Wednesdays are her day off. I do remember saying that because really? I thought it was weird that it was like middle of the week.
That is kind of weird.
And who's working that day then? Is the office just shut down?
It must be because the doctor dies that night.
Oh.
And yeah. She doesn't find out for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the next day they go on their date.
Okay, yeah.
Which I thought was weird that she was wearing uncomfortable shoes when she knew it was going to be like a touristy walk all over the place.
She does some things in this movie that I don't.
They also shot the scenes at the Statue of Liberty without permission.
What?
Yeah. They just figured they'd get in there and shoot them and before anybody
like super quick.
Yeah, before anybody can complain about
it.
Do
you need permission to shoot the Statue of Liberty?
Apparently. I mean, to film, like.
Yeah, I guess so. I wonder what they did in Splash. Because anytime I think of the Statue of Liberty, I think of Splash.
That kind of had big name actors in it, so they might have.
That's true. Tom Hanks.
The proper way.
And Daryl Hannah, I think, had just done Blade Runner. Or it was right after.
I have no idea which one came out first.
I don't know either. But anyway, Statue of Liberty.
She's super cool in Blade Runner.
God, I love that movie.
It made me want to be a gymnast when I saw it.
It made me want to cosplay her later on in life.
Yeah, when you saw it and you're like 8 years old, you're like, someday I'm going to
cosplay
her.
Someday, before I even got into cosplay, I was like, I'm going to cosplay Pris from Blade Runner.
I've looked into it, like ordering the jacket and everything. Mm-hmm. But that fur jacket is kind of weird. So I don't know if I'd have to order the fur and make one. And now we're rambling.
Yeah.
What movie are we even talking about? Are we reviewing Blade Runner? Or Splash?
We should. but yeah, basket case. So.
Okay. So I said that the doctor, the second doctor that gets killed, the one that Sharon works for, kind of reminded me of Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
yeah. And he had a dead plant on his desk, which really bothered me. He had, like, a pot of dirt in his dingy little office.
Yeah, his whole office bothered me because I've been to a lot of doctor's offices, and none of them are as chaotic and as disgusting as that one.
Oh, you want to know why it was chaotic and disgusting?
Was it in a basement? Did they film in a basement?
No, they didn't have any prop budget money, so a lot of it was, like, out of dumpsters and the side of the road and stuff.
Oh my god.
I told you this movie is
learning
so full of gems.
So much about this movie.
I feel like I hit the jackpot by picking it as my first one.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much like unbelievable crap in it.
Yeah.
Okay. So is that when you first see him?
I think.
I don't know why that's important to me.
I think it is. So.
He's hanging on the wall, right?
No. Dwayne. Dwayne is going on his date with Sharon, and Dwayne buys him a TV to, like, keep him occupied. And that's might be the first time you see him. Like, the first time you actually see him in, like, current time.
No.
I should have written it down.
The first time you see him is when he kills Harold, the second doctor.
Oh.
Because he's hanging on the wall in the office, and he kind of, like, jumps on him. Like, he turns on the light, and, like, he breaks down the door and is super strong.
I just... This movie made me uncomfortable.
Terrifying monster.
He's super creepy.
Because he's basically, like, arms and, like, a little bit of torso and, a head and no neck.
A spaghetti meatball. It's a meatball with arms.
Like Meatwad?
Yeah.
No, Meatwad is 1,000 times cooler.
Yeah. And I don't think he murdered anyone.
No, Meatwad is too nice.
Yeah.
Frylock would be the murderer. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah.
Not Frylock. Yeah, Frylock.
I did like when he kills the lady vet. I don't know why I have to say lady vet, but she's the only doctor. And she brings her head up when her nurse people come in, and it's just, like, jammed full of scalpels.
We're getting there. Wait, that was the last doctor kill, right? There was just the three doctors. Yeah. This is, once again, going back to, like, true crime. When he kills the second doctor, the second doctor dies of, like, face scratches. Like...
So does the sleazeball.
Yeah, so you just see the second doctor, but then he gets ripped in half.
Oh.
Which is also...
I remember that, yeah.
Icky.
Which, the amount of strength...
To rip someone in half. With your bare hands. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, I did write a funny thing. So when Sharon is, like, locking up for the night and leaves, and she kind of steps out into the hallway, the business right next door is called Novelties and Rubber.
I wanted to make a comment too, because Dwayne is, like, walking down the street in one of the scenes, and it's like nudie films, 25 cents.
Yeah, I mean,
and like striptease, 25 cents. I'm like, holy shit.
Well, it's supposed to be like a rough part of town.
Yeah. But he had, like, all that money. You would think that he would just...
Well, he gets to New York and he just stays... He tells...
It's just, like, the first place he decides to stay, right? Yeah,
he tells Casey it's, like, the first hotel that he came across, and that's why he stays there.
That's so random.
Yeah, like, he gets off the bus in New York and he's like, all right, this is where I'm staying.
Oh.
So there wasn't any, like, rhyme or reason behind it.
There's no planning.
No planning.
He was just filled with rage.
They do a little bit where Harold is, like, freaking out and he calls the other doctor. And I just said, hello, Dr. Cougar. Meow. Because she's with, like, a young guy having dinner and she's like, I don't fucking have time for this right now.
Yeah.
Like, you're going crazy.
And she's, like, getting this guy drunk, too. She's, like, continuously, like, shoving wine down his throat.
Drink up.
Here, drink up. And he's like, no, I'm going to leave. I'm going to drive home tonight. And no. She's like, no, you're not.
Cougar. She's a big cougar.
Mm. But then again, no, that's too rambling. I'm not even going to mention that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zip.
Zip.
So he buys the TV so that his brother has, like, something to do to keep him occupied while he goes on a date.
Yeah.
And he doesn't tell his brother that he is going on a date. He says, like, oh, I'm going to go do this boring stuff. You stay here in the hotel room. Here's a TV. And that doesn't go well.
No. Not at all.
Well, first he trashes the TV. Or trashes the whole place and the...
Because the TV wasn't working. Like, he pulled the knob off the TV and it angered him.
Yeah. So he trashes the whole place. This is some pretty amazing stop animation happening.
Yes.
And I mean, I know that was the thing at the
time.
That
was the thing at the time.
Yeah.
So
then after the room is trashed, that kind of jerky guy that's trying to steal his money goes in and
he gets killed.
He gets killed.
Yeah.
Not in his room. The twin goes and, like, what, hides out in his room?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's nothing when the manager comes to, like, investigate. There's, like, nothing in the room except it's, like, trashed.
Yeah. Because he went out the window? Because he hides in the toilet later. He hides in the toilet when the police come to, like, search Dwayne's room.
Yeah. Which, if you look this movie up on the interwebs, it's one of the pictures in the images of him, like, sitting on the toilet with Dwayne.
Yeah.
sitting there. Which, shout out to Dwayne's hair. Can we talk about this?
It's lovely.
It's beautiful hair.
It kind of reminds me of Greg's hair right now. It's got this nice wave to it. It's like a good
length. It's just luscious curls. And I don't know. I sent it to my friend Caitlin when I was telling her what movie we were going to be going over.
Like, check out this guy's
amazing hair. And she was like, holy shit, that's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Like, yeah. I wish my hair looked like that short, but it doesn't. Mm. It just kind of lays flat and I wear hats all the time.
Yeah. That's okay.
The brother, like, freaks out because he has this kind of, like, psychic connection with Dwayne. And Dwayne kisses Sharon on their little date.
Yep.
And then that kind of sends his brother, like...
into an even more of a rage.
Into a rage. Mm-hmm. Which, that kiss was...
it was something not to be seen.
It was terrible.
It was very awkward and just, I don't know.
It looked like he was kind of trying to swallow her face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was gross. Anyway, so then Dwayne gets this, like, super, like, oh my God feeling and rushes back and realizes that his room has been trashed.
Yeah, and his brother killed someone. I think whenever his brother kills someone, like, he gets that, like, sick feeling. Like, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then, okay, so all this happens. Police come and leave. That's when he goes out with Cassie and gets drunk.
Casey.
Mm-hmm. Cassie's my coworker.
Cassie.
So I had to try to not write that name. Yeah. I had to, like, really think about writing Casey.
Which, early on in the movie, the lock on the basket gets kicked off in a scuffle or something. Why the hell was that not replaced right away?
It was... magically replaced.
Was it?
Because it was a movie flaw. He kicks the lock off. Yeah, Dwayne goes to a movie and takes the basket with him, and then some guy some guy, this is another kill, actually. A guy in the theater sees the basket, steals it.
He's not killed. I don't think.
He wasn't?
Mm-mm. He was just scratched on the face.
Oh, but see, sometimes the scratch on the face kills people.
Right. Obviously, in this movie.
Yeah. Oh, I guess he does run out. I can't remember.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he runs out. But
yeah, then the lock is back on there.
Weird. Mm-hmm. Because why didn't he just lock it up the rest of the time, like when he was out with...
Well, because he didn't want his brother to, like, sit in there all day getting bored. He wanted him to be able to watch TV or do whatever.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Do you think that if... I'm trying to formulate words here. Do you think it was Belial's idea to go around and, like, kill the doctors? Or do you think it was Dwayne's? Or both?
I think it was probably both. Because Dwayne was really attached to his brother.
Okay. Literally, up until age 12.
Yeah, they were attached. But no, he really cares for his brother. Yeah.
I don't think he cares for his brother too much towards the end, though. I think he gets a little fed up.
Yeah.
Okay, so he goes out with Casey.
He goes out with Casey. Okay, this is a fun fact. So... The bar that he goes to with Casey is a club that agreed to let him use the space. And the club is an S&M club called the Hellfire Club.
In real life?
In real life. It is the Hellfire Club, and it's...
Is it still operating today?
I don't know. I should have, like, Googled it to look up pictures. But I was getting so much information that I couldn't go down
like,
all these different paths. You know, I had to try to...
I think if it is still, they should have, like, a picture on the wall or something.
They should.
That would be really cool.
But, yeah, so that is, like, the bar scene. And I kind of thought it was just, like, the basement of their building.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't really think of it as being a bar. I thought it was more of, like, a house party-ish place. But it was a bar.
Okay.
And I hate it. This is something that bothered me about that scene, is that... I hate how people act drunk in movies.
Yes.
Because some people slur, some people stumble, mm-hmm. some people, but they kind of, oh, I'm drunk, and they combine all of those things together. But
which I don't know many people that do all of those things when they are drunk. Mm-hmm. I don't think I know anyone that does all of those things when they're drunk.
Well, if you did, they'd be the most obnoxious person alive. But anyway, he gets super drunk, tells Casey his whole life story, and she's just like, whoa.
She is one of the most accepting people. She's like, holy shit, dude, you have a lot going on. Here's another drink.
Like, yeah, she's like, for real? Like, this is intense. And she just lets him tell the whole story and is fine with it.
And she, like, walks him back, too, and, like, puts him to bed. And I love, like, the look on her face when she's looking at Dwayne, just, like, laying there in bed. Like, oh, you're just such a little puppy. Like, yeah, that's the kind of
little puppy.
And then she goes back to her room, which I completely respect.
Well, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't she?
Well, because she didn't, like, try to, like, get with him or anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, she's too cool for that.
Yeah.
When he's telling the story.
I love it when you look down at your notes.
By my notes. Like... This is what I wrote. Okay, Casey's cool as shit. He's telling the story, and she's like, what the actual fuck, Dwayne?
Yeah.
Because she just doesn't care. But that's when he tells the story, and you get, like, the whole backstory of, like, him and Belial. I just can't Belial. Say it. It doesn't roll off the tongue. But so that's when they're going over the whole surgery thing. And the surgery, like... I know that sound is tearing a watermelon.
Yes. It's disgusting. And
it is like cracking into a watermelon and grabbing each half of it and ripping it
apart.
Is
that what they used for that?
I do know that they've used it in horror in general as like a sound effect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I think it's really convenient how that surgery goes, where they basically cut the skin. It makes, like, a watermelon sound, and then they're separate.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he has a big gory scar, I'm sure, from the skin being sewn up, but...
He would have had to have had, like, a skin graft.
Well, not even a skin graft, but there would have had to have been, like, some kind of blood, like...
Transfusion?
Well, no... There would have been, like, veins connecting.
Yeah.
But they just, like, cut the skin and pull them right off, and that's...
There's no explanation, and I'm sure anybody that's in a surgical field would watch this movie and be like, none of this. No.
I don't really know how they separate conjoined twins. No. So I am not an expert.
You're not an expert. I'm not an expert.
I just think it's really weird that they just cut the skin and pull them right off, and then they throw them in the trash. They didn't even make sure he's dead. They just put him in a plastic bag.
I wrote that because I don't understand why they didn't make sure he was dead.
They went through all the trouble of separating them. I think maybe the dad and the doctors and everybody involved would think that Dwayne would be happy and like, oh, I'm better off now.
Yeah.
And just let him die. But, I mean, they'd live their whole lives together. Yeah. Like,
and I think that if they had killed Belial... I think Dwayne might have been super pissed about it for a few years, but he would have, like...
Eventually gone on and, like, lived a somewhat normal life. It sounds like they're cutting melon.
And then, so Casey leaves.
Oh, don't forget, he kills his dad.
Yeah.
They go and kill the dad.
Yeah.
He gets split in half.
The dad?
The dad. With a saw in the basement.
Yeah. Oh, that was gross.
Which is also...
That was gross.
Yeah. So they cut him in half, but there's not blood everywhere, which I kind of wondered why there wasn't blood everywhere.
Yeah.
And that is also at the Hellfire Club, and they had to move a lot of... That's so funny. They had to move a lot of S&M props to get the proper basement scene.
I wonder if you... pause the movie and just like looked at this at the screenshot or whatever.
Yeah.
If you could see some props. That would be really interesting.
Yeah, I just thought it was like...
That's cool.
A super random fact.
Yeah.
So, so they get back. He passes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when his twin... I keep saying his twin because I can't say
that's
his
okay.
name.
Yeah.
The twin breaks into Casey's room...
And
steals her underwear and, like, isn't he up in her face?
So, Casey, like, wakes up and turns over and sees Belial right there. And she freaks out.
I said that's the best horror movie scream I've heard in a long time.
Yeah.
She, like, lets it rip.
She's good. I mean.
Which I would, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If you woke up and that thing was, like, right next to your head?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He steals her underwear, which kind of leads to him... You don't know if he has, like, sexual feelings at all. Like, you never really think about it, but then he goes and steals her underwear and is, like, looking at her in her PJs or whatever.
Yeah.
And just gross.
Yeah. It gets even
it
more
gets
creepy.
Grosser.
It gets grosser. Just a warning for people.
And then that's when he goes and kills the veterinarian.
Okay.
So, yeah, the veterinarian gets her face shoved into a drawer, and when she lifts it up, there's, like, 50 scalpels stuck in her face.
Yeah. That was my favorite kill.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how shitty would that be for the doctors involved? Like, the dad is just like, I need somebody to do this. And the doctors are like, okay, like, we'll do it.
But they're doing it, like, shady, though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure he's, like, paying them under the table to come and do something that, like...
Yeah. And why would they have a vet?
Vets do surgery.
Well, yeah, but he couldn't find...
Probably not.
Like a human surgeon.
To do
surgeon.
An illegal surgery.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there's another movie that was like that where they had a vet come in. Oh, yeah. The Walking Dead, because...
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say Trailer Park Boys. Because they have the vet do everything. Oh, I got shot. Let's go to the vet.
Shit. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so then after that, to, like, follow the storyline, that's when...
Which has been loosey-goosey so far, but
has,
that's okay.
But you know what? I don't care. That's when Sharon shows up. It's, like, that next day. Sharon shows up because she found her dead boss.
Okay.
Or, like, he died.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she's, like... Oh, I can't be alone. You know,
she's stupid.
I have to be with you.
I hate her.
And then I wrote more gross kissing, worst date ever.
Yeah. And is that when...
That's when they're making out in his room.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's when she sees the twin.
The twin.
The twin. Belial.
Belial. Yeah.
That's I even good. Wrote it down. When you said it, I wrote it down phonetically, and I'm still... I wrote Belial. Belial. Anyway, she sees him and bolts.
As you would.
As you would.
Yeah.
Well, wait. Does she see him, or does he just start making noise, and then Dwayne's like, you have to get out of here?
I think she sees him. No. She doesn't. You're right. You're right.
How do... We're good at this.
Hey, you know, if people are still listening and this will be episode 4, then thank you. Because
I really appreciate you listening to us
ramble.
Somewhat talk about movies that we have actually seen.
Yeah. It's I'm telling you, drunk history of movies.
Oh, okay. So yeah. So she bolts. And then that's when Dwayne has the dream that he's running down the street naked.
But he freaks out at Belial.
Oh, yeah.
After she leaves.
Like, you're ruining my life and I hate you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then he dreams that he is running down the street naked, which he actually is.
Full frontal.
There's full
ladies
frontal.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So what they did is for that scene is that they had a van that he would, like, sit in. The production crew or whatever would clear the street to kind of mm-hmm. make sure there wasn't anything sharp that he'd step on or hurt himself on. And then he jumped out, would run a little bit, get back in the van. They'd watch the footage. And they did that a few times to, like, to get what they wanted, to get the right scene.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool. Because he's streaking in New York. I mean, he's actually out on the street naked.
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
That fact is cool.
So they, and they also filmed it in like the middle of the night so that there wouldn't be anyone around.
What? Can you imagine the people that were out then going like, what the hell?
Watching this guy get in and out of a van, mm-hmm. running down the street. Then people would come out and like sweep. And then he'd like run down the street again.
What the hell?
So random.
I imagine some people would just be like, well, it's just another night in New York.
So what does he do? He wakes up from his dream, kind of realizes what's happening. Belial went to Sharon's house
mm-hmm.
to both kill her and weird monster rape
so,
her.
So, yeah. Just be aware of that scene. Like, you don't see anything, but
it's just gross.
It's just gross.
It's real gross. And when I saw it, I felt gross inside.
Yeah, it was an icky scene. So, but just a big warning.
He does it after she's dead, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, she wakes up, she's screaming, he, like, chokes her out and then assaults her, which is disgusting. But then Dwayne catches him.
Yeah, and just, like, takes him back to the hotel as he's, like, yelling at him, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So then they get into, like, a big brawl. It ends up with them falling out the window.
Mm.
And this, you think they die, but there's two more movies, so.
Yes!
I kind of read about the second and third, and I want to see them.
Do you really?
I kind of do. Well, now that I've done so much research on this one, and it's just got so many facts.
Is Casey in the other two, or does she move on to?
I read that she is in all of this director's
okay.
stuff. All right. And when I looked her up, she would still be Casey.
Mm-hmm.
Beverly Bronner would still be playing Casey in the next two movies. And then in Frankenhooker,
which I want to see,
which is set in yeah. New York too, her character's name is Casey.
That's cool.
So I'm assuming she just plays the same kind of like amazing prostitute in everything that he directs.
Which she does a great job. And Dwayne, the guy that plays Dwayne, does a really good job too. I liked him.
He kind of gave me like a Bruce Campbell vibe.
Yeah.
Like where it's like a little hokey, but you like it.
Mm-hmm.
Like his facial expressions and stuff are kind of a little over the top.
Yeah.
But I dig it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when I went into it, the first time I watched it, I thought, oh, what am I doing? I have to watch this again to take notes on.
Well, and that's when we were talking about the movie and you were like, well, we had the idea of watching the movies twice, once to just kind of watch it and then the second time to watch it and take notes. And you were like, I don't know if you're going to want to watch this the second time. But yeah. Now, honestly, like now with all of your little factoids, like I kind of want to go back and rewatch it.
It just had really good trivia.
Yeah.
So I'm glad, like I felt lucky that I had such cool trivia because I know like the next one I picked, it has some cool stuff, but I feel like this was a gem. Like mm-hmm. a lot was going on in it and I'm happy that I did it.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay, do you have anything else to say or are we good?
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, so we're good.
That's it, folks.
What are we doing? What's the next one?
Midnight Meat Train. I'm super pumped for that movie. Yeah.
It's
it is not a porno. I know that that's really shocking with the title, but it's very far from it, folks. So
not a porn, and it has Bradley Cooper in it.
And Vinnie Jones.
Yes.
Swoon. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you could understand our ramblings in this one. We were kind of all over the place, but
yeah,
that's cool.
It would be cool, too, if you could rate us on iTunes.
hopefully like 4 to 5 stars, but
I mean,
we won't hate.
Well, let me put it this way. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
Take that granny advice. No,
but it is the internet. So,
and so far only our friends have listened to us.
I know. Yes. All right. Have a great night, guys. See ya.
Bye.